Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, we've been talking about the theme for this year that we've put forth to you as a church, of each one, reach one in 2021, okay? And yes, I'm one of those that likes alliteration and rhyming and puns and all those. I love those things. My analytical mind just seems to enjoy that. If you don't, I'm sorry. I'm doing it for me, not you. Okay, just kidding. But no, that is our theme, and so hopefully you've been able to hear the thoughts and the heart and the vision behind what we want to accomplish this year. I hope you want to accomplish something this year. I do. You say, well, 2020 was just a waste of time. I disagree with that. I mean, maybe it wasn't as pleasant of a time as we would have liked, but I don't think it was a waste. I don't think God does that. I think everything has a purpose and is according to His plan. But if you'll stand with me, if you're able to, in Psalm 126, I think this morning we'll read this together. It's only six verses. Psalm 126, we'll read together, have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the preaching this morning. And I do thank you so much for being here. It really does mean a lot for you to be in the house of God with us today. Let's read together in Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I know this is a very common passage of Scripture for most. And a lot of times, folks will use this as what they might call a soul-winning message and such, and those types of things. But I want to, and so that is part of the end that I want to get to. But mostly I want to focus on one thing. And if you look here at verse 6, the Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, to give some conditions here, right? Bearing precious seed. And so we have some conditions here that we're going to look at and notice. But I want you to look at the next two words, because this is where I want our focus to be today. We have a goal of each one, reach one. We've talked about the value of the one that is you, that is the one that is doing the reaching, right? And we've talked about the one that we want to reach. We've spoken of those things, and I hope that I've painted the proper picture this is something that we can do and something God wants us to do. And there are people out there that want to be found and want to be saved and want to be a part of a church, and we just got to get it all together. And that's the focus that we want to look at. But today I kind of want to put a little bit of a culmination of these things together for us. And it has to do with the word that is next. Shall doubtless. Shall doubtless. So the title of today's message is simply this: doubtless. Doubtless. Without doubt or question whatsoever. Without doubt or question whatsoever. The psalmist writes and he says, we have these elements: he that goeth forth and weepeth, and bearing precious seed, shall doubtless. And listen, I want to say to you today, Lighthouse Baptist Church, and those of you listening and watching online, we have a theme, that's what it's called.
each one, reach one. This is a doubtless statement. Doubtless. Hey, listen, doesn't the Bible says that His word will not return unto Him void? Doesn't the Bible say that He wants people to be saved? That He wants people to receive Him as Savior? Absolutely. And so I just say to you today, folks, that this is a doubtless thing. It is without doubt, without question, that God wants us to reach someone this year. Without doubt, without any question whatsoever, God wants you to reach someone this year. God wants me to reach someone this year. God wants us to reach someone this year. It's a doubtless thing. The Bible says that we shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing His sheaves with Him. So first of all, today I would simply talk to you about some doubtless things that are in Scripture found for us. The first one is doubtless salvation. Doubtless salvation. There is no question about salvation. Not for this preacher anyways. And let me say further than that, not for this believer. Because one time when I was a child, I was asked a question. Eric, have you ever asked Jesus to save you? I knew about God. I knew of God. I knew about Jesus. I heard about Him from my Sunday school teacher. I had gone to church. But I never asked Jesus to save me. And that day, I knelt down by my bed and I prayed and I asked Jesus Christ to become my Savior. There's no doubt in my mind that I'm saved. Do you have an experience like that? Do you have a time where you were without Christ, where you were undone, and you knew you needed something, and then Jesus was presented to you? Maybe a soul winner, maybe a preacher, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a mom or dad or a relative showed you from the Word of God how you could be born again. Guess what, folks? If that's true for you, there's no doubt in your mind either, that salvation is real. Hey, it's real. It's real. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, I love this story because we're talking about David here. And you can turn there if you'd like to. But the Bible says in verse 19, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. You know, David was a mighty man of war. And, you know, he had already defeated the giant, Goliath, right? Cut his head off in the battlefield. Victory from a shepherd boy. But it was through his God. He made it known that it was God, not him. And he, again, now in this portion of Scripture, he inquires of God, hey, should I go up? God says, yep, doubtless, I've delivered them into your hand. You know, salvation is doubtless. And of course, we understand that this portion of Scripture is not physical, or is not spiritual salvation, it's physical salvation. He delivered him physically from this battle and gave him the victory. But can I tell you something? God has delivered us from the battle against sin and given us the victory through salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God has given us, it is a doubtless thing that He will deliver us. Go to John chapter 3. Many people focus on verse 16. Wonderful verse. I think it, I think that it's the gospel in a nutshell. Okay, I love John 3:16. John 3:16 is wonderful. You, if you watch football or anything, any kind of sporting events, you'll even see people in the crowd with the sign says John 3:16. I mean, it's that popular. Everybody knows John 3:16, right? But what about the rest of the verses here that follow? Look at verse 16. We'll start there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, if you read that passage of Scripture, by the wording that is given, is there any doubt about salvation? Not for me. Not for me. I mean, words that are spoken like, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Well, that's definite. That's without doubt or question that that's what it says. Oh, and by the way, he that believeth not is condemned already. Well, there's no doubt in my mind about that. In John chapter 5, just go over a few chapters here. We're in the book of John. Look at verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Any question? Doubtless. Salvation is doubtless. He said, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. When God says something is not going to happen, let me just quote the Bible. I believe God. I believe him. You know, the Bible says that God, who cannot lie, has promised. He can't. So when God says shall or shall not, that rings doubtless for me. That's doubtless. There's no question in my mind because I believe God. He says that shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, those are definite things, folks. Oh, those cannot be questioned. God is a doubtless God. And salvation is doubtless. Without question, without doubt, we have access to God through Jesus Christ. We do. We have access. We can go to heaven, not because of us, not because of Lighthouse Baptist Church, not because of religion, not because of any good work or anything, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, we can. We can. And I am without doubt on that matter. And I know so are some of you. And maybe all of you. And most of you. Which is wonderful. So, we have this doubtless salvation. In our text that we read, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Were the people of Israel released from their captivity? That was their salvation. Okay, now again, not spiritually speaking, but in a physical sense. And it was something that was doubtless to them. Their mouths were filled with laughter and their tongues with singing. The Lord hath done great things for them. When we're born again, Our mouth is filled with laughter and our tongue with singing because He hath done great things for us. Our burdens are lifted. That debt of sin that we owed is no more. It's been paid for in full by the blood of our Savior. We don't have to walk around defeated. We can live in victory. Because Jesus has saved us. Can you remember back to when you were born again? And you trusted Christ and it just felt like the whole world just melted away. And everything was new. The grass was a little greener. The birds were singing a little louder. Right? No? Yes? Well, yeah. Without doubt. Without question, we have a doubtless salvation. Go back to Psalm 126. Look at verse 5. Psalm 126, verse 5. Back to our text. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You don't want to know something else that's doubtless? Not just our salvation, but the fruit is doubtless. The fruit. How many of you like gardening or growing a garden or maybe you're not a big garden person. You just have a pot on your patio with a tomato plant in it. Okay, maybe that's the level of gardening that you have. Okay, whichever, right? But when you let's talk about tomatoes. When you plant that tomato seed or you go to the local nursery and you buy a tomato plant, right, and you put it in the ground, what are you expecting from it? Tomatoes. Yeah. Anybody expecting oranges from your tomato plant? No, of course not. Okay. So the expectation is that plant is going to do what? And there was silence in the crowd. Bear fruit. Yes, produce. It's going to produce. That's your expectation, yes? And honestly and truly, most of the time, that happens, doesn't it? Unless you have a black thumb instead of a green thumb, right? You just kill everything that grows. Anybody like that? Okay, no, don't have to raise your hand. All right. But listen, doubtless fruit. Here in the psalmist says, they that sow in tears, there's that word again, shall reap in joy. He said there's going to be a harvest. There is going to be fruit produced because of this. Because there was seed sown, there will be a reaping. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Doubtless fruit. Now, I didn't say what kind of fruit, but there will be fruit. You know what? We know that God has a principle of sowing and reaping, does He not? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So fruit bearing is a doubtless principle. Just as much as salvation is. Now I didn't say where, when, or what, or why, or how. I just said it's going to happen. It's doubtless. It's without question. Now look at verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 1. Okay? Chapter 9, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? What is Paul doing here? He said, hey, you're my fruit. I'm an apostle. I'm free. I've seen Christ. And you're my work in the Lord. You're my fruit. He says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. He said, hey, you're my fruit. You're ratifying the fact that I'm an apostle. We always say, right, the proof is in the pudding, right? Or if it's an apple tree, it's going to bear apples. And if it's a lemon tree, it's going to bear lemons, right? If it's a tomato plant, it's going to bear tomatoes. That's the evidence. So he said, you're my seal. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? And as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we the power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Who planted the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? These I say, say I these things as a man, or saith not the law as the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he should, that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. For if we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we, or is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You know what Paul is saying here? He's making a case for something. And that case is doubtless fruit. Doubtless fruit. And it's for the glory of the Father, not the glory of man, not the glory of the preacher, not the glory of the believer, or the Christian, or the sower, but the glory of God. This fruit is for. Paul says, listen, fruit is important. Fruit is a doubtless conclusion. If we sow, we're going to see fruit. In Luke 15, in verse 10, the Bible says this. When she, I skipped ahead of myself here. Luke 15, go to Luke 15, verse 9. I want to go through all of these with you, not just one at a time. These are the parables of the lost things, right? Luke chapter 15, you understand that? When people are without Christ, we consider them to be what? Lost. And when they receive Christ, they are now found, saved, yes? Lost, found. Okay, that's good. And you're very good with your words that go together, right? Lost, found, up, down, in, out, all those things. Now, here we go. Look at verse 9, chapter 15, verse 9. And when she hath found it, the lost coin, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Is that not important? It's important. You know, there is fruit. Something was sought for. Something was found. Something was lost. Now it's found. God says that we have fruit and fruit that remains. Go to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to get back to these here in Luke. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18. This is the parable of the sower. Why did Jesus tell parables to the people? Anybody? To confuse them. No. No. No, he wanted to make it apparent to them. He wanted to make a principle stick in their minds. How many of you like to hear stories? Right? And those stories help reference you to a principle. Right? Anybody ever heard? What is the moral of the story? Okay, well, that's what parables are for. So Jesus is telling a parable here in Matthew 13, verse 18. Matthew 13, 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So what happens to the seed? It grows and it bears fruit. What's God's expectation of us? What is the doubtless principle that we bear fruit? John 15, 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. We should have fruit, and fruit that remains. Matthew 7 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Hey, this is doubtless, folks. The psalmist said that he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. This is a doubtless principle. Doubtless salvation and doubtless fruit for our lives as we go and each one reach one. This is doubtless. I have confidence, not in so much you, but in God. These are His principles. Do we not believe God? Do we not believe that He wants us to go and bear fruit? Yes, He does. We just talked about it. It says so. Do we not believe that salvation is real and sure and it is salvation? Absolutely, it's doubtless. Doubtless salvation. Doubtless fruit. and now doubtless rejoicing. Now let's go back to Luke 15. I didn't tell you this a minute ago because I didn't want to break the thought process. But I copied and pasted some verses here. And it was supposed to put them under point number 3, not point number 2. So now we're going to go to Luke 15 and talk about lost things. Okay? Now you know. See? Preachers probably shouldn't reveal their secrets to everybody, but that's okay. I'm an open book. All right, now we're going to go to Luke 15. This makes more sense because it didn't make any sense there. So if I had a funny look on my face, it's because I was confused. Luke 15, verse 5. Here we go. And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Again, these are parables. Parable of the lost sheep. Parable of the piece of silver. We already read about the woman. And she called together her friends, right? And neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, the father and the son, when he went away and took all his goods and all his riches and wasted them in riotous living, they made merry and rejoiced when his son returned home. They did. So let's look at what the psalmist said. If just think back, I'll read it for you so you don't have to flip back in your Bibles. Because we're going to stay here in Luke 15 for a minute. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We said that, right? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. So we have doubtless salvation and doubtless fruit, but we also have doubtless rejoicing. Doubtless rejoicing. Hey, when you plant that little tomato plant, or the seed, or whatever, and if it's a seed, it comes up green, right? The little leaves spread out, right? Or you buy it and it has green, nice green leaves, and then all of a sudden you see those beautiful little yellow flowers. And you know what's coming. Okay, you're getting a little excited. And all of a sudden, there's a little green tomato. And then day by day, it gets a little bigger, right? It starts to turn kind of brownish, orangish green, right? And then maybe it turns a little bit orange. And then it turns a little bit red. And then, or pinkish. And then it turns red. And what's building inside of you this whole time? See, the saliva in my mouth. No, joy, right? Because is your excitement growing? Because what can't you wait for? The fruit. And you, finally, it's ready, right? And you pick it and perhaps wash it and you bring it and it's just... You're so happy. And there's a joy and there's a rejoicing that you have over this tomato. A tomato. Or an apple or a pear or a peach or a bean, green bean or an asparagus or a head of lettuce or wheat or, you know, sunflowers or corn or whatever you're growing, right? I mean, there's a joy for the farmer, for the gardener. For the individual. Or maybe, ladies, you're into growing flowers. You love to see that. I mean, just... Huh? It's doubtless. Right? Doubtless. Nobody looks at the tomato plant that they planted and invested and watered and cared for and come up and just say, stupid tomato growing on my plant. Oh, tomato. Hate tomatoes. What? Who does that? No, come on. Nobody. Nobody. No, you don't grow a tomato plant and then hate the fruit. No, it's the joy. It's a joy. And it's a doubtless thing. Without question. Without doubt, there is joy when each one reaches one. Are you looking forward to that? Have you been praying, oh God, give me a family? Give me someone to cross my path that either I can share Christ with them and see them be born again and see them come and be baptized and see them discipled and see them sitting in the pew next to me and bring joy not only to me but to you. Because it's doubtless. A doubtless rejoicing. Did anybody really expect the shepherd to go out into the wilderness to find the one that was lost and come back saying, oh, stupid sheep, I'll show this sheep, and I'm going to tie it up, and I'm going to throw it in the barn, and I'm going to kick it, and I'm going to feed it to the wolves tomorrow. No. No, everybody expected for him to come back with joy. And he had found the sheep that he had lost. And the woman sweeping the floor, nobody said expected her to be disappointed or discouraged or defeated or angry or of ill temper because she found this piece of silver that she lost. She threw a party. She was excited. There was a joy in her. She rejoiced over finding, and she called her neighbors and friends together and said, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. You notice in verse 7, he said, I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And in verse 10, said, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Don't forget in verse 32, it says, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. It's doubtless rejoicing. Doubtless. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. I just want to say to you today that there are some things that are without doubt, without question. They are doubtless, and that is salvation and the fruit of the Christian life and the rejoicing over one that is reached for the cause of the Lord. Doubtless. Without question. Are you ready to reach one? In 2021? I've written in the bulletin a few weeks in a row now. Wherever the bulletin is. Give me your bulletin. I have one. I know I do. Oh, there it is. I'm always losing things, so bear with me. Our new theme for 2021 is each one reach one. Please set your heart and mind on some goals for this year. God wants to bless us, and we need to be ready for anything and everything He will send our way. Pray about a family that you can reach this year. Expect it. Hey, go out and plant some seed. And don't say, if that thing grows, I'm going to cut it off. If that produces a tomato, I'm smashing the fire out of this thing. No! Don't you want to grow? Don't you want to produce fruit? Don't you want to enjoy and rejoice over the fruit that remains? Well, I do. Don't you? A few Psalms. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. And it shall rejoice, my soul that is, it shall rejoice in His salvation. Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. And let such as love Thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him. and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Hey, Christians, I just want to know if you have doubtless salvation and doubtless fruit and doubtless rejoicing. The psalmist said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We have a goal, a theme as a church. Now you say, Brother Combs, that's your theme. That's your goal that you put on a piece of paper. Yes, it is. But it's for you. It's for you. And we ought to take hold of the promise of God because it's doubtless. Each one can reach one in 2021 because it's a doubtless principle. 100% without question. Salvation, fruit, and rejoicing. Those are doubtless according to this book. And guess what? I believe this book. Don't you?